amen. We're just going to go ahead and get right into it this morning. We're already prayed up. We're praised up. Now it's time to go to school for a little while. Hey, last week we started a little two-part mini-series on God's Guide to Success. Our text was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. We're going back to the well one more time on those verses in our message, which is cleverly entitled God's Guide to Success, Part 2. So, hey, in the lesson from last week, we learned that the first thing that we need in order to live a life that is successful according to the Word of God is to have full dependence on God. We have got to trust God with all of our hearts. We have to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Here's what that means. First, we have to have complete confidence in God, and then we also need a constant compliance to His will. Now, the second point we talked about last week was that if we are first expressing that full dependence, then and only then, God will give us faithful direction. He will direct us. And I told you last week that there were four different ways that God would faithfully direct us. And we only talked about one of those last week. The first way God will faithfully direct us is through His Word, through the Bible. And I gave you a whole bunch of Bible verses to drive that point home. And there you go. You're caught up. If you weren't here, that's what we talked about last week. We're going to pick it up right here with the second part of our message. So in addition to God faithfully directing us through His Word, the second way He will direct us is through prayer. You know, sometimes you may need God's guidance in an area of your life where the Bible doesn't necessarily give a clear answer for that specific situation. Example, you're not going to look in the Bible, young person, and have God say, this is the college that you need to go to. You're not going to have the answer to the question, exactly, young person, should I join the military or go to a trade school or get into the workforce right out of high school? Those questions are not answered. But see, God will guide us. He will guide us in the right direction when we pray for things. Here's a couple of examples to so you know I'm telling you the truth. After Judas Iscariot hanged himself, the other 11 apostles, they got together and they said, hey, there's supposed to be 12 of us. We got to find somebody to take this guy's position of leadership. So they narrowed it down to two guys, but they weren't 100% sure which guy was the right guy. So how did they seek God's guidance to make the right decision? They prayed. Acts 1:24 says, they prayed and they said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen. Now, here's the thing about prayer. You better keep in mind, prayer is a two-way street. And if during your prayer time, you're the only one talking, that's a problem. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God will speak to your heart if you will listen. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 29, we're told that Philip was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. One day he was walking down the road, he saw this fellow riding in a chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah out loud. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip's heart, and he said, hey, go to that chariot and you stay near it. The Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, and Philip listened. And you know what the result was? That guy riding in that chariot got saved that day. Because Philip was obedient to what the Holy Spirit told him. He was obedient to the direction God gave him. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 2, we're told that in the early church, there were prophets and teachers who were worshiping and fasting. And while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. He directed them and he said, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. God directed these men through their worship, through their prayer, through their fasting. And what was the result? Saul would later come to be known as the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary the world has ever known. in addition to that, he was inspired to pen the majority of the books in the New Testament. So here's a question for you. How do we know what God wants us to do here at Woodburn Bible Church? What are his plans for this church? Well, let me encourage you. Friends, we have to fast. We have to pray. We have to truly seek the face of God and then let the Holy Spirit of God, who speaks to us through the Word of God, also speak to our hearts as we're seeking the will and the face of God through prayer. Now, in the Old Testament, we read about a fella named Nehemiah. God tasked him with rebuilding the broken down walls around Jerusalem, a task that seemed pretty much impossible. And yet we read in the scriptures, he completed this project in 52 days. You say, wow, how did he do that? He sought the Lord's will through prayer. And God faithfully directed him and told him how he should do it and what he should do, and he got it done. Has God ever put anything on your heart? Would you like him to? Would you like God to put something on your heart? Here's the key. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom right here. When you really begin to commit every area of your life to God, when there is really that full dependence on him, when you stop leaning on your own understanding, God takes the Bible and he begins to speak to you and guide you through his word. God uses his Holy Spirit when you pray and he begins to guide you through prayer. So God guides you through his word. God guides you through prayer. And the third way he guides you is through wisdom. Friend, when you display full dependence on God, he will give you wisdom. You say, well, I wish he'd give me some. Look, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. What exactly is wisdom? What is wisdom? Biblical wisdom can be defined simply as spiritual common sense. Romans 2:12, great verse. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's another question for you. Why would God renew your mind if he didn't expect you to use it? Don't be afraid to think. Don't be afraid to use the wisdom that God has already given you. Because when you are committed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, when in all your ways you're acknowledging him, when you got a full dependence on him, he's going to direct you through his word. He's going to direct you through prayer. He's going to direct you through the wisdom that he's given you. And then you will begin to understand what the will of God is for your life. Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Check out what he says to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:15, Paul says, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. What he's telling these people is, when God gives you wisdom and spiritual common sense, you can judge some things for yourself. You don't have to walk around all confused, wondering what to do. I mean, for crying out loud. When God gives you wisdom, there really are some things that you don't have to spend a bunch of time praying about. You already know they're his will. Just do them. Here's an example. When you got up this morning, did you have to pray about whether or not to put on your socks? No, man, you just did it. Did you have to pray about what tie to put on? Well, maybe some of you ought to pray about that. But you don't have to pray about those things, right? You know what you're supposed to do, so you just do it. God gives us wisdom. He wants us to use it. So, quick review. When we display that full dependence on God, we receive faithful direction through his word, through prayer, through wisdom. And finally, we get his faithful direction through providence. if you're trusting him with all your heart, if you're acknowledging him in all your ways, God is going to direct you like a Jesus-powered guided missile in your Christian walk. And how does he do it? He does it through his providence. He opens doors and he closes other doors to keep you on the right path. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says, I know your deeds. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. The verse right before that, Revelation 3, verse 7, the Bible tells us that what he opens, nobody can shut, and what he shuts, nobody can open. God gives us faithful direction through his providence. That's how he works. Let me tell you another story about God's providence. I've told you many times, this is no secret, my all-time favorite preacher is Adrian Rogers from down in Memphis, Tennessee. Well, here's a story about Dr. Rogers. Back in 1972, he very first became the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Nashville. It already, at that time, had a membership of 9,000 people. Can you imagine that? We got 1,800 people in all of Bunker Hill. So the membership of this church was five times greater than our entire population in this whole area. 9,000 people. But listen to what happened. A while after Pastor Rogers had been there, so many more people started coming, they ran out of room. They didn't have enough parking lot area for people to park. They didn't have enough seats for people to sit in. So they started making plans to build a new, bigger church where they could fit everybody inside. They were looking for land right in downtown Memphis, because that's where they'd always been. And Dr. Rogers said, you know, we tried to move heaven and earth in order to build a new church in downtown Memphis, and the harder we tried, the more doors got slammed in our faces. And he said, one night I was down in Orlando, Florida, for a speaking engagement, and when I got done speaking that night, I went back to the hotel, and normally I'm a real sound sleeper, but that night, man, my pillow was like a rock. I could not sleep at all. I felt God speaking to my heart, and he said, Adrian, you're going in the wrong direction. You're trying to pour water uphill. You need to forget about building a church in the middle of Memphis. Go outside to the unincorporated areas just outside the city and look for land there. Dr. Rogers went back to the church board and he said, listen, please don't think I'm crazy, but I need to tell you something that God's put on my heart. And that church board had the wisdom to listen to what he said, and they began to look for land outside in those unincorporated areas. Now remember, he said in downtown Memphis it had just been bang, 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 one door slammed in our face after another. He said as soon as we began to look for property outside the city limits, it was just like God was saying, come on in. This is the place where I want you to build my church. So they followed God's direction, and he opened the door for that new church to be built. And you know what happened? By the time Pastor Rogers went home to be with the Lord in 2005, that church of 9,000 people had grown into a church of 29,000 people. That'd be like the whole town of Alton all going to one church together. 29,000 people in that church. So because God directed him through his providence and he listened, they were able to reach way more people and win more souls for Jesus than they ever dreamed possible. And that little town of Cordova, Tennessee, where they built that church, it quickly became the fastest growing area in the whole state of Tennessee. Newsflash, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And this is the way he works. So listen, when you're praying, when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, and you're trusting God with all your heart, you're acknowledging him in all your ways, he will direct your path. He'll do it through his word. He will do it through prayer. He will do it through wisdom, and he will do it through his providence. Now, we've already seen two of the key points for God's guide to success. The first one is that we have to express a full dependence upon God. If you're not going to do that, forget it. Forget it. Now, if you're willing to do that first one, have a full dependence on God, then here's what happens. He will give you faithful direction. Now, here's the third and final key on God's guide to success. When you're doing those first two, when you have that full dependence and that faithful direction, there will be, as a result, a forceful dynamic. Look again at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That Hebrew word there used for straight, it literally means to cut and clear a straight path. Let me show you how that same word is used in another place in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 4. A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. You say, wow, that's kind of poetic. What does that mean? It means when you trust the Lord with all your heart, he's going to send a spiritual bulldozer in front of you. He's going to knock those immovable obstacles out of your path. He's going to clear the way. Now, look, we're weak flesh and blood, men and women. Our lives could be over like that. God knows our weaknesses, and he knows it's not enough to just show us the way when there are what appear to be immovable obstacles in our path. That's why he says, you don't have to worry about those obstacles. I'm going to clear your way. Just trust me. If you ever watch any interviews with any old-time NFL running backs, and I don't care whether you're talking about Sweetness himself, the late, great Walter Payton, or maybe somebody like newer, like Emmitt Smith, or one of these guys that set all kinds of records, and the reporter goes, how did you manage to run so many yards over the course of your career? If they're honest, they all say the same thing. You know what it is? I couldn't have done that without my teammates, without those big men up front on that offensive line, pushing those defenders out of my way and clearing my path, moving the obstacles out of my way. I could have never got it done. God does the same thing for us. This is what I'm trying to tell you. When the problems of this life are pressing you down and crushing you, and the obstacles in your path look too big to move and you just don't see a way, it's not enough to just know the will of God. It's not even enough to know the will of God and have direction. We've also got to have that forceful dynamic. We've got to have that power that God uses to push those obstacles out of our way and make our path straight. Years ago, there was a fellow, an evangelist. His name was Dr. Henry Morehouse. He started his ministry in the year 1864. That's a long time ago, ain't it? You know, in 1864, this church had already been here 26 years. How about that? Now, he didn't preach around here, but I'm just telling you. This church has been here since 1838. This guy started in 1864. Abraham Lincoln was still alive for one more year after this guy started preaching. Now, he would go all over the place. Sometimes he'd be gone for weeks at a time, preaching, doing tent revivals, and sharing the gospel with people. So a lot of times when he'd come home, he'd try to bring a little gift. You know, he'd bring a little gift to his wife. And Dr. Morehouse and his wife, they had this precious little daughter. And, you know, medical science wasn't what it is today back then. And this girl had a physical disability in her legs, so she had to walk with crutches. And a lot of times, if nobody was around and it was just the family, she'd just lean her crutches on the wall and kind of scoot around on the floor to get wherever she wanted to go. And that was just normal for them. So one day, Dr. Morehouse, he comes home. He's been gone for several weeks, and he brought a real nice present for his wife. And his little girl sees him carrying the present, and she says, Daddy, give me that present. I want to carry it and give it to Mommy. And he says, oh, honey, that's really nice, but this is too heavy for you. You're not going to be able to carry this to mommy and still walk on your crutches. And she says, daddy, I can do it. You give me that present and let me give it to mommy. He says, sweetheart, I'm telling you, this thing's heavy. You can't do it. Now, like every other little girl who's got her mind made up about something, Dr. Morehouse didn't stand a chance. So she says, daddy, I can do it. Let me take that present to mommy. He says, okay, baby. And he hands her the present. She's holding that present. And she says, okay, daddy, now pick me up and carry me to mommy. God has done that for me so many times. God has given me a job. He's given me a mission that he tells me I have to accomplish. He's given me a message that he wants me to deliver. And he gives it to me. Friends, then he just picks me up and he carries me. He'll do that for you too. He is the one. He's the one. He has programmed his people for success. Now, somebody may see the title of this sermon, God's Guide to Success, and they say, man, when I saw the title, I thought this was going to have something to do with money and finances and stuff. Well, hold on, because part of it does. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. I'm quoting the King James now. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So you see, it's like this. When we get serious about looking for the will of God, we're going to see the alls that are mentioned in this passage. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Verse 9, honor the Lord with all thine increase. So when your worship, your walk, and your wealth are given over to him, friend, you'll know the will of God. Put those alls in your life that we see here in this passage. Don't play games with God. Don't do that. Are you really serious about knowing the will of God for your life and then carrying it out? I told you last week at the beginning of the message, the number one question, the number one comment I get from people when they come to see me with a problem, oh, Pastor, I wish I knew what the will of God for my life was. Let me tell you where you can start. You could start by doing the small things that are right around you that you already know are his will. Start with those things that are near to you. If you're faithful in doing that, God will reveal more of his will to you. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. One commentary I read said it like this. You ask, what is the will of God? Well, here's the answer, true. The nearest thing that should be done that he can do through you. So this is where you start if you want to carry out God's will. Look right around you for the nearest thing that needs to be done and just get started. But make sure you do get started, because it's hard to steer a car that's not moving. Now, over the last 2 weeks, folks, we have looked at biblical principles regarding God's guide to success. But I'm going to close with this. None of those steps are possible that I gave you without first knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If there ain't been a time in your life where you have prayed to receive him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do it right now. The Bible says Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. All you got to do is open the door and invite him in. If that's something you need to do today, I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me and pray right now. Let's just everybody bow our heads. And if you need to pray this prayer, you pray it. Lord, I confess my sins to you. I deserve your judgment. But Lord, I want your mercy. I know that you love me and that you want to save me. Jesus, you promised to save me if I trusted you. I do trust you. I believe you carried my sins to the cross and paid for them with your own blood. I believe God raised you from the dead. And right now, at this very moment, I open my heart and receive you by faith as the Lord and Savior of my life. I don't ask for a sign, and I do not look for a feeling. I simply stand on your word. Thank you for saving me. Please help me to follow you and live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and God bless you all.